You got a good cup of coffee there close by, and if you didn't, maybe I'll encourage you by taking a sip of mine here. I am so glad that you are here today. My name is Pastor John, and I want to welcome each of you here this morning. You know, I encourage you to hang around after church is over and be a part of our middle hour. There's lots of different classes, Sunday school classes, small groups, different things. The bulletin back there gives you a detailed list of what those things are. So hang around, and then that way the folks that are coming to our next service, they'll come early at 10 for middle hour, and then hang around for their worship service at 11, and you'll get a chance to rub shoulders for a few minutes with some of those folks. You know, I love this time of year for a lot of reasons, but one of them is not Halloween. You know, I never have really gotten into Halloween, although we had a great Wednesday evening here this past Wednesday with our fall festival. We had like tons of little kids here. It was just a great time together. But I was really overjoyed to find out that not only is, you know, tomorrow is Halloween, but there's also a holiday today. Do you know what it is? It's National Knock Knock Joke Day. Let's try this. Knock knocks. Dishes. Dishes, Pastor John. Welcome to First Church today. Knock knock. Water. What are you asking so many questions for? Knock knock. Candace. Can these jokes get any better or get any worse than this? Yes, they can. I could go on, but I'll stop there. National Knock Knock Joke. Happy National Knock Knock Joke Day to you. You know, if you are wandering in here for the very first time this morning, or you haven't been here in a while, and we got folks that are coming back each Sunday, today we're beginning a brand new teaching series entitled God Wins. Isn't that the best news you've heard in a long time? God wins. You know, it's really easy today to look at the world and the things going on in the world or the things going on in the news, and we just think about being so knocked down, so defeated, so discouraged. And sometimes, especially as believers, it's encouraging to think about that, yes, indeed, God does win. And today I want to begin this series, and believe it or not, we're gonna study for the next 7 or 8 weeks, I think. We'll take some time off for the holiday and then come back to this at the first of the year. But we're gonna be looking at the book of Revelation. And we're gonna be pulling out some of these themes and some of the teachings where God shows us and tells us and demonstrates for us and illustrates for us that he, in fact, wins. And because we love him, because we're a part of his family, because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we win too. You know, I read an interesting article this past week. It was about Shaquille O'Neal. Do you know who he is? Shaquille O'Neal, the retired NBA player. You know, and he played for the Orlando Magic, and he played for the Los Angeles Lakers, and he was one of the best players that's ever played. I read an article the other day that he was quoted in as saying to his children, "We ain't rich, I'm rich." So, does that sound like something you'd like to share with your kids? Now, he said in this article, he said, "My kids are kind of upset at me." And then he said, "Well, they're not really upset. They just don't quite understand." You know, he said, "I tell my kids all the time, Daddy ain't no ATM." And said, "We ain't rich, I'm rich." And then he shared a conversation that he had with his older daughter, who's now an adult, and he said, "Sweetheart, when you get your education and you start a business," he said, "you can come and pitch that business to your dad just like anybody else would, and maybe I'll invest." What do you think about that? Huh? You know, it's a great idea since he ain't my daddy. And you may think that sounds pretty good because he's not your daddy either. But as one of his children, you know, you wonder, man, maybe I should have been born to Tom Brady instead of this guy, right? Because Shaquille O'Neal, they said he's worth $400 million. And he told his mother told him that he had to finish college. And he left LSU after 3 years and went into the NBA, made $400 million. And then he went back to LSU and got his bachelor's degree. And then he got his master's degree. And several years ago, believe it or not, you can look it up, Shaquille O'Neal earned a doctor's degree. All because his mother said, listen, if you go to college, you're going to graduate. And you know what? He wants to instill that same kind of work ethic in his children. You know, sometimes I wonder about how generous God is with us. And do we really realize how blessed we are? You know, when you come to the book of Revelation, one of the most beautiful messages, one of the greatest messages that the world has ever received from a loving God, from a rich God, who says that he's going to richly give unto us his children. And John announces, as he unfolds this revelation, with these words in verse number 3, when he says that all these things will come about soon. That all these things will come about soon. What must soon take place. Here, let's read these verses together in verse number 1. He says, the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of his prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written, because the time is near. Two different times there he talks about that these are the things that are going to take place soon. They're going to come soon, for this time is near. What soon must take place. Now, if you're like me, when I read these words at the beginning of the book of Revelation, I'm saying, okay, what does he mean by soon? But we have to understand that to God, time stands still. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Bible says that when death comes, that then we face the judgment. And whereas, you know, we may seem that the time between this moment and that moment are days or weeks or months or years or decades or centuries or millennium, to God, it's just like that. And we serve a God who said, yes, these things are going to take place soon. And let me tell you something, folks, that I am absolutely assured of, that it's sooner today than it was then. Matthew, in his gospel, he talks about the signs of the times. And when you read about the signs of the times in the latter part of the Gospel of Matthew there, and he talks about all about these things that are going to be going on when that day comes and when that hour approaches where Jesus Christ will return. It is such a commentary on the time that we are living today. But here's the overriding message of this prologue in the beginning of the revelation of Jesus Christ that he gives to John. And this is it. Listen, remember this. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Matter of fact, I'm going to show you three parts in these first 8 verses where John says emphatically That the most important thing is Jesus Christ and the revelation that God gave to him, that he revealed to John, and John documented for all of us to experience and to see even now. You know, you think about John, though, he's an amazing figure, right? He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote the three epistles of John. He wrote the revelation that God gave him here. And it's amazing because in the Gospel of John, he showed us what was important to know about Jesus. In the epistles of John, he showed us the truths about Christ that we need to remember. And in the revelation of John, he showed us how that Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, was going to come back as a victorious and ruling king. It's amazing to think about that in the Gospel of Luke, there's an easy passage to overlook where Luke says that Jesus recognized that after the garden experience that he had with his disciples, he said that the people were going to come and take him and make him king by force. And what God refused to force on us, his lordship, his kingdom, he freely gave to us through the grace and mercy of his wonderful Son. But there will be coming a day. That's what Revelation is all about. It's all about how Jesus Christ will one day come back as a victorious king and as a ruler. And he will take back the power that all peoples have usurped from him down through the ages. You know, some recognize that John was a first cousin to Jesus. Maybe so. He was the one that Jesus said, "Care for my mother, Mary." He was found at the side of Jesus at the Last Supper. He alone of the 12 stood at the cross when Jesus died. He was the first to arrive at the tomb when Jesus arose. And he became this great leader of the early church and the writer of five different books, the Gospel, three epistles, and the book of Revelation. And here is this rich story about how John is showing us how important it is that we understand exactly who Jesus is. Everything in life is about him. You know, sometimes I think we're like the little kid I read about one time who went to summer camp. You know, little Johnny, he went to summer camp and he was there and this teacher was teaching and he was talking about all the different things in nature and the things that were beautiful. And he was talking about, he said, "Hey kids, what is that animal that climbs a tree and he eats nuts and he has a furry little tail that whips back and forth?" And little Johnny raised his hand and he said, "Yes, Johnny, what is am I talking about?" And little Johnny said, "Jesus." Right? Because at summer camp, every question that's asked, the answer is Jesus. But here's the thing, John is saying, yes, the answer to every question about life is in fact Jesus. And here, John is talking about this revelation that was given to Christ by the Father, who Christ, in fact, revealed it to John and asked John, in turn, to share it with all of the believers. Revelation is distinguished as the only book of the Bible that promises a blessing to those who take it to heart. Notice there in verse number 3, he said, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud these words. Blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart." Look at those three things. Blessed are those that read aloud these words. I'm thankful for that this morning because I'm reading aloud those words to you, and God is saying that, you know, that I can receive a blessing because I'm reading those words. He also says here that blessed are those who hear these words, and that's you. But then he said, blessed are also those that take these words to heart. And that's all of us. That's all of us. Take it to heart. It implies a certain amount of care in keeping, guarding, observing God's word. As James says, being doers of the word and not just hearers only. What is written for us to heed is contained in this prophecy, this foretelling that John is sharing with us. You know, I find it interesting that Albert Einstein's theory of relativity says that time increasingly slows down as objects near the speed of light. 186,360, I think, something like that, miles per second. For those of you that are here that are NASCAR fans, that's like 700 million miles an hour. But he says as things approach that speed, he says they get slower. You see, I think in Jesus' eyes, no matter how our life seems to hurl out of control as we fly into the future, John here says that Jesus has the power through his revelation, through his majesty, through his lordship, that he can slow it down to where it can, in fact, make sense to us. You know, I don't know if you've ever had this experience before, but recently I was laying on my bed, our bed at home in our bedroom. And I had my iPad out, and I was doing something, and Arlene had the ceiling fan, which is above on the ceiling of our room and right above our bed. It was on low, and I was noticing as I was looking at it, you know, it was going like this, and every time I would blink, it would like stop. Have you ever seen that? I've seen that. I was laying there, and it was like I was looking, and I blinked, and it was like it stopped. I could see distinctly every blade on the fan, it was stopped. But the thing about it was, it didn't stop. So I laid there and I'm going, I'm like just over and over. And every time it would like stop. See, God in his power, he has the ability to stop the chaos. And he's saying here that this revelation, this understanding, as we hear the word, as we read the word, as we speak the word, and as we obey the word, things will come into great focus. Let me show you a couple of words here that he talks about in this passage as well, because it's all about Jesus. You see, verses 1 through 3, it's all about Jesus. Verse 4 through 6, take a look at this, because he continues the same theme. He says, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and the seven spirits before the throne. Who is, who was, and who is to come. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Now go back to the previous slide and notice what he says here in this particular passage. He says, who was, who is, and who is to come. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. An out-of-control, chaotic world is not chaotic and out-of-control to him. And the closer we are to understanding how important it is to know that it's all about Jesus, the better sense we can make of this world. And then he says, John speaks of grace and mercy. What's he talking about here? Undeserved loving kindness and favor, rest and calm assurance that comes from this harmonious relationship that we have with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Both of these can be given and can be received in your life. And John is clear that he wants these blessings for all of his readers. And he's described here as the one who is, who was, and who is to come. As the one who revealed himself to Moses, I am who I am. The timeless, self-existent one. He's the one that is always, always in the now. Grace and peace. You see, we can't have that grace and peace unless we have His presence in our lives. Matter of fact, if you think about this grace and peace, I think a good way to understand it is how we look at life. Do you look at life as a question mark, or do you look at life as an exclamation point? It's funny how a lot of people they want to study the book of Revelation. And a lot of times if you ask them, they want to study Revelation because they have so many questions. Oh, I have so many questions. You know, I need to understand about this and that and the other, and what's this and what's that, and what's this referring to and what's that referring to, and when is this going to happen, and all this kind of stuff. But let me tell you something, folks. The book of Revelation isn't so much a book to answer all of your questions. It's a book to give you a great big exclamation point. And the exclamation point is that God wins. And because we are His children, we win too. Listen, folks, I want that fact to keep you awake at night. You know, last night I went to bed, and when I went to bed, the World Series was still on. It was in like the sixth inning, I think it was, and the score was 1-0. Houston was winning. And I don't know if you're a baseball fan or not, but I've been kind of interested in it this year. And so I was watching the game, and it was like, man, I got to go to bed. Tomorrow's Sunday, I got to get up early. So I went to bed. It was 1-0. And then I woke up at like, 1:45 or 1:50, and the first thing in my mind was, ooh, wonder who won that game. So I got my phone laying right next to me, so I picked my phone up and I opened up the sports app, and I saw that the score was 3-2, that the Atlanta Braves had come back and won it. They scored a run in like the sixth inning and tied it up, and then in the seventh inning they hit two solo home runs to go up 3-2, and then that was the final score at the end of the game. Well, guess what? I was so interested in who won. And then when I saw it, my team, they're not really my team, but I'm rooting for Atlanta. I saw that they had won, and my exuberance then kept me up to 4 a.m., okay? So I'm just a little tired this morning. But here's the thing, folks. You and I, we don't have to wake up in the middle of the night and wonder if God's going to win. We don't have to wonder how this is going to turn out, what's going to come about, what's going to happen. I mean, we may have some wondering thoughts about where things are going, but we know where they're going to end up. I always love to point out the fact, you know, the book of Psalms talks about how life can wander and meander like a river, but it always goes into the sea. You know, our lives may meander like a river when floods come and and it goes this way and that. But you can change, you can change the riverbed of a river, but you can't change the destination. The destination is always headed toward that same place. Have you ever traveled? Have you ever been out west? And I've been out there, and you see this sign, and it says Continental Divide. Now, I've been told that you can drop a drop of water here, Pacific Ocean, you drop a drop here, it's going to end up in the Atlantic Ocean eventually. It's a continental. You can't change where the rivers are headed. You can change the path. Circumstances can change the path. And here John is talking about so many things that might, you know, he says to the churches here how, and you know, we have so many questions. But in reality, it's the idea that this is God's exclamation point. Carrying this idea further about the supremacy of Jesus, he talks about Jesus as the ruler of the kings of the earth. So we must strive very hard to honor Jesus in that way, but also to know that the ultimate end is in His hands and not in ours. So we just remain faithful. When we see what seems like the devil winning, we remind him. You know, when he reminds us of our past, we remind him of his future. That God is going to have the ultimate victory over him in all things. And because we are his, we will know that same victory as well. And that's for all people. Paul says there's no difference between Jew or Greek, Jew or Gentile. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He says we're all justified freely by His grace through the redemption of Jesus Christ our Lord. So think about this prologue. Verses 1 through 3, it's all about Jesus. Verses 4 through 6, it's all about Jesus. Here, let's pick this up and let me give you this last part. Revelation 1, verse 7. Look, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all peoples on earth who mourn because of Him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Not so much about the questions. It's about this emphatic exclamation point that God is giving to us here in His Word. So we must look, He says. In other words, we must give it our attention. 25 times in Revelation, He uses this word that we dare not ignore. That we need to look. And then he even says what we're going to see when we look. We're going to see Him coming with the clouds. That He will be revealed to us. As the Bible tells us, every eye will see. All peoples of the earth will mourn because of Him. Jesus saw that day. He knew that day was coming. He knew that he was going to live victorious. John says later in this book, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Even those who pierced Him, he says. You notice that? That even those who pierced Him will see His coming. They will mourn. They will grieve. They will weep. Why? Because they know that they have rejected Him. You see, folks, the book of Revelation is just one great big emphatic message to the world that God wins this battle. You know, I told you I was rooting for the Braves, but I didn't tell you why. I'm rooting for the Atlanta Braves. It's a terrible reason, okay? I'm not advocating this at all, but I'm just being truthful with you. I'm rooting for the Braves because back in the spring or in the early summer, the Major League Baseball and the Commissioner of Major League Baseball, they took the All-Star game away from Atlanta. Did you know that? They didn't like the political ramifications of the voting laws in Georgia, so they literally took the All-Star game away from Atlanta. And the millions and millions and millions of dollars that was going to come to the city and the businesses of Atlanta. And they moved it almost at the last minute from Atlanta, I think it was in Denver. And here's the thing about it is, though, and then Atlanta, who wasn't supposed to be all that good in baseball, ended up winning their division, winning the National League playoffs, and now they're one game away from the World Series, and they were huge underdogs. And they said at the beginning that if they could win it in five games, in other words, 4-1, that the baseball commissioner would have to give the World Series trophy to the Atlanta Braves in front of the Atlanta fans. That's tonight. And it may be wrong of me, but I just want to see that happen. I think, you know what? What a great big attaboy for those folks. Because if they lose tonight, and even if they end up winning a series, they'll have to do it in Houston. But if it's tonight, it would happen there in Atlanta. So they took the All-Star game away from Atlanta, and then they won they're in the World Series, so they're getting all this attention, all these fans, all this money being spent in Atlanta. And I just think that's good because sports and sports people need to stay out of politics anyway. But anyway, that's a whole nother thing. But here's the thing, folks. When you have a chance to be a part of a winning team, you certainly want to do that. Listen to the Spirit's call in Zechariah chapter 12. He says, "They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as he mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son." But he says that this mourning will turn to rejoicing. For he says in that same text, "On that day, whom all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all of the nations." Verse 9, "On that day I will set out to destroy all the nations that attack Jerusalem." Verse 10, "And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication." Is that not exactly the message that John shares in his revelation that he received from God? So folks, here's kind of the bottom line, I think, of this prologue of the beginning of the book of Revelation. Do you know the greatness of Almighty God? Do you know the influence and the power that God the Father gave to His Son, Jesus Christ? And do you understand that Jesus, that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ? It's the revelation of God given through Jesus Christ and shown to the Apostle John and given to us. Blessed are those that read it. Blessed are those that hear it. Blessed are those that keep the words of this revelation. And what is the word of this revelation? It's all about Jesus. So I say to each and every one of us here today, when that day comes, whenever it may be, and Jesus says it's going to be soon, But whenever that day comes, the only thing that's going to matter is what you think of Jesus. Not that you think he's a good teacher. Not that you think that he was a swell guy. But whether or not he is in fact your Lord and Savior. Have you received the grace and the peace that he gives to us? Have we received that grace and peace that he offers to us? He is far greater than that we've ever understood. Far greater than we've ever allowed him to be. He's the all-knowing one. He is the self-sufficient one. And he is the one that knocks on our door. Knock, knock. Jesus. And it's no joke. He's the only thing that matters. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, may we take so seriously this beautiful word from your revelation. And God, may we certainly ask questions, good questions, pertinent questions about your revelation. But Father, may we know more than anything else that it is so much more than a question mark. It's an emphatic exclamation point of who Jesus is and what he will do on that great and glorious last day. So Father, may we hear the knock of Jesus on the door of our heart. And Lord, may we answer, and may we let him in, and may we experience in abundance the grace and peace that he so richly gives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.